Airbnb.
Yetis, how much can you charge for your place? Important question, but hard to answer.
Airbnb helps host with that. They show you how much similar places in your area are going for so you can compare and contrast.
Jack, this two-bedroom walk-up, it's going for $300 a night on weekends, but my two-bedroom walk-up is nicer, it's got a pretty view, and maybe I'll put it up for $400 a night.
Nailing the price is key to being a satisfied host on Airbnb, and Airbnb helps you do it. Your home might be worth more than you think.
Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Rocket Money.
All right, Yetis, picture one place you can link all your money accounts to have one single picture of all your finances.
That's Rocket Money.
Yeah, it is.
But we love this app because it actually does a lot of different things for us.
Rocket Money, it's like our money manager. It shares money alerts like that refund that we've been waiting for.
And Rocket Money also helps us save money by helping us cancel subscriptions that we don't need anymore.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users, and it saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
That's rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
This episode is brought to you by Noom. Forget one-size-fits-all diets. With Noom, you get a personalized weight loss plan that's tailored to your lifestyle. No food is off-limits. Enjoy your favorites while discovering healthier habits. Noom's users love the flexible approach, blending psychology and biology to help you lose weight in a way that's sustainable for you. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. Welcome back. It's Monday, October 5th.
To quote the famous Michigan football coach, the pod, the pod, the pod.
Jack, TBPY, the best pod yet. What do we got for our first story over here?
We just got the last jobs report before the election. We're talking the economy's report card for the most important semester of the year. For our second story, Dumbo, Brooklyn-based Etsy. Its stock has tripled this year.
We noticed a crafty artisan strategy that could out Amazon Amazon.
For our third and final story, Mission Produce is the pure play avocado IPO. It's the one we didn't deserve,
no,
but the one we needed right now.
Yes, the stock jumped 20% on day one because guac is always extra.
Don't ever forget it.
But Snackers, before we jump into all that wonderful stuff, we just found the most incredible job in the world.
Hired to get fired.
That's right. Harrods Department Store, legendary institution over in London. You get like Bloomingdale vibes when you walk in there, Jack, right?
On 34th Street, you got Macy's. In Trafalgar Square, you got Harrods.
Great pronunciation. That was really good.
Now, back in the 60s, there was an employed person at Harrods Department Store whose job it was to just like sit in the attic, hang around, fold some boxes, read a book.
Let's call him Steve. And Steve would just hang out until a bell would ring.
Now, when the bell rings, it's like Pavlov's dog. He has to go downstairs to the women's section where he will address a manager.
Jack's turned into a psych major on me. This is incredible.
So after the manager sees Steve show up, the manager is talking to maybe, you know, a customer named Mrs. Fitzpatrick who just found out the sweater she bought was ripped. So Mrs. Fitzpatrick is upset and the manager goes to Steve and blames Steve for the ripped sweater and fires Steve right in front of Mrs. Fitzpatrick to satisfy the upset customer.
But Mrs. Fitzpatrick begs them not to fire Steve. She protests saying, you don't have to fire Steve. It's okay. It's okay. I'm so sorry.
Or maybe Mrs. Fitz quietly sits there and nods in approval and satisfaction for this righting of the wrong.
Either way, the Harrods manager insists Steve has got to go. He's been fired, miss. We've got high standards here at Harrods.
So Steve throws down his Harrods employment card, walks out the front door with his tail between his legs, but then he walks around the building enters through the back and goes back up to the attic and waits for his next gig. Where Steve hangs around sitting on some boxes, waiting for the next bell to ring. Snackers, this is a true story. His corporate title? Fall guy. Endorsements on LinkedIn? Taking the blame. He gets none of the credit, he gets all the blame. Sounds pretty incredible. Let's hit our three stories.
You're tuned in to Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we gotta get something legal out the way. The snacks you're about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities. Nope. It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security. Right. Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA /SIPC.
For our first story, we just got ourselves the last jobs report before the election. That's critical. And the state of the economy is not good. Snackers, you wake up on Friday morning, you had a nice sleep, you pour the cold oatmeal, and the first two things you see, president has COVID, and we get the jobs report. I then immediately devoured 2 RX bars and 2 cups of coffee because we had a big day ahead of us. I could feel Jack's heart rate from here. So we jumped into the Labor Department's report on Friday morning, which said that America had 661,000 more jobs in September than the month before. All right, so you add all that up. That brings the total number of jobs gained in the U.S. since May to 11 million. That sounds really incredible, except that's about half of the 22 million jobs we lost in March and April alone. And it doesn't get better from there because this is the third straight month of decreased job gains. In other words, the recovery from March and April,
yeah,
it's getting slower and decelerating every month. So let's say you hear these numbers, you call up a math professor. They're going to tell you that if it holds steady at 661,000 new jobs every month, it's going to take us 17 more months to get back to our pre-COVID, our February 2020 levels.
But then Nick and I phoned an econ professor. If you add in population growth, because 18-year-olds are graduating, it'll take 21 months to get back to our pre-COVID job levels.
And if you call a gym teacher, they're going to say that push-up didn't count. Now, the good news here is in the unemployment rate, which fell from 8.4% in August to 7.9% last month.
But Nick, even that one bit of seemingly good news
felt good.
Actually wasn't good news.
Yeah, Snackers, turns out nearly 700,000 people dropped out of the labor force in September, and that's why the unemployment rate went down.
Now, the reason so many people decided to stop looking for work and stop working, it's kind of unclear, but we think it might have something to do with school starting.
Yeah, get this, Snackers. 4 out of 5 of the Americans who dropped out of the workforce last month, they were women over the age of 20.
Now, since we haven't controlled COVID, a whole bunch of schools are starting off remote this year.
So it seems like parents aren't working. They're looking after their kids Zooming, and that's disproportionately falling on America's women over the age of 20.
So the huge improvement in the unemployment rate actually has underlying bad reasons.
Kind of feels bad. Oh, and by the way, Jack and I just have a little bit more grimness to toss on this thing.
That report we've been talking about, this whole story, it's based on data from September 15th, the middle of the month.
Yeah, after that, you get a layoff bloodbath that feels like it's out of a Quentin Tarantino movie.
On Tuesday, 28,000 Disney workers got laid off.
And then on Wednesday, 13,000 Shell and Allstate workers got laid off.
On Thursday, 32,000 airline workers got laid off.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddy who is the U.S. economy?
We're putting all our eggs in the vaccine basket, but some medicine would be nice too.
Yeah, the best fix for the economy? Straight up controlling COVID. Pretty straightforward.
America's proven incapable of that as each of our 50 states are kind of doing their own thing in the COVID response.
Yeah, so it's all come down to a vaccine, which the Centers for Disease Control thinks isn't even happening till at earliest June 2021.
Yeah, that's when they think it'll be widespread available, and that's 9 months away.
A lot of months away from now.
That's why we're hoping the House, the Senate, and the White House pass some more economic stimulus.
More loans for small business, more unemployment benefits. That would be the nice medicine.
And it looks like the president's COVID infection actually might move us towards compromise.
For our second story, Etsy stock has tripled so far this year.
To survive against Amazon and e-commerce, Etsy's doing everything different than Amazon and e-commerce.
All right, so we got to do a little family. I don't even know what you call this, Jack, but Amazon. It's like it's the mature older sibling. It applied early. It got into the top schools.
This is a family scouting report, and Amazon always got the summer job, the summer internship, like varsity letter this, varsity letter that.
Amazon. Then you got Etsy, went to RISD and took a gap year. Will that make you love me, Dad?
Amazon. You're going to Amazon for utility. That's why you're going to Amazon.
Ran out of toothpaste?
Refill.
Need detergent?
Refill.
Need a new microphone for the podcast you just started up?
One click. Got it yesterday.
Etsy, on the other hand, is for creative shopping needs.
Jack, I can't decide. I need a matching bridesmaid tumbler for the batch weekend. Which one of the seven options am I going to go with on Etsy?
I don't know, but how about a one-of-a-kind macrame baby swing, Nick?
Who cares? Throw them both in the cart.
Now, to set the stage for Etsy's 2020 success, you got to look at an email CEO Josh Silverman sent to all of the Etsy sellers back in March.
That's right, because Etsy CEO and the whole Etsy team, they recognized that there was going to be an opportunity to create things as this pandemic unfolded.
The CEO anticipated the need for crafty supplies that you can buy online to meet the demand for people in the coming months.
And so the Etsy sellers responded by making a whole bunch of things.
And those whole bunch of things were purchased by 12 million new first-time shoppers on Etsy.com in the first 3 months of the pandemic.
Feels like a big number, but is it a big number? It is, because Macy's only added 4 million new online shoppers in the exact same period.
Get this, Nick. $346 million worth of sales on just masks happened during the pandemic on Etsy.
A perfect comparison point for Jack and me, because we just told you that story the other day about Gap selling so many masks during its earnings.
Gap sold a bunch of denim masks, and it was like the king of denim, according to the internet. Etsy sold three times as many masks as the Gap did.
And 95% of the sellers on Etsy, they're selling those masks from their homes, from their living rooms. Their manufacturing situation is like the closet around the corner.
It's not a diversified global supply chain.
No.
It's your little stamping station over in the corner in the basement.
Your warehouse workers are like your kids.
And Etsy has sellers who are just a lot nimbler than like the big corporations out there.
Let's say it was back in April, just earlier this year. You probably wanted the Tiger King mask because it just came out on Netflix.
Well, guess what? Ellen over in Arkansas, she can move faster to put that to market than Old Navy corporate can.
Also a great snack. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Etsy?
Etsy is the first to figure out experiential retail online.
Online. Snackers, Amazon has the speed, the resources, and the size advantage over everyone else.
40% of all online sales in the US is Amazon, and that amount is growing. So yeah, it's pretty big.
Yeah, so Amazon, Shopify, and Etsy, they all seem to be benefiting right now from the exact same online shopping trend as you're going online more.
Physical stores need online markets to keep on selling.
But out of all these platforms, only Etsy is providing the experience of the flea or farmer's market.
Everybody loves a Saturday flea or farmer's market, but you might not be able to get it during the pandemic.
Jack, if you got 6 hours, that's where you're going to go on a Sunday.
But with each Etsy visit, you can get the variety, virality, and newness of culturally relevant products.
You don't get that on Amazon.
Amazon's a bit more sterile. Retail's not dead.
No.
Bad retail's dead.
For our third and final story, Mission Produce just went public. Stock jumped 20% on day number one of trading.
Nick, after a year of cloud-based SaaS software SPACs,
yeah,
I'm excited about this avocado company IPO.
I mean, first, most important takeaway question here, Jack. Slice or mash?
Always slice, and I've never cut my hand despite many close calls.
Honestly, if you're not throwing sea salt on this thing, don't even bother sending us a photo.
Nick and I jumped into the S1 of Mission Produce, which now has a publicly traded stock. It's a pure play avocado company with ticker symbol AVO.
Classic jumping in snack style. First thing we noticed, opening page, Mission Produce, quote unquote, believes they're the first to have imported avocados into the United States.
Believe?
Believe.
Is this the new adjusted?
This is the new adjusted, Jack.
You can say anything as long as you put believe, apparently.
Bold claim. Lawyers walk the whole thing back. Rough first impression.
So Mission Produce's revenues grew 6% last year, which is a steady growth rate, and it's profitable.
But since avocados aren't self-driving, it's worth just under $1 billion. Jack, translation.
If you add up all the stock of Mission Produce, it's worth 1/20th of a Lyft.
All right, so Jack and I kept continuing beyond the first page, jumped in further snack style, and noticed what we think is interesting about Mission.
It's basically ExxonMobil, but for avocados, not oil.
Yes, it is. Mission Produce, they source and produce and pack and refine and distribute and sell avocados.
They also advise retailers on how to sell avocados.
Yeah, Jerry, trust us. You're going to want to put this right here near the tomatoes, but across from the chips. Don't ask any questions.
Mission Produce has a vast expanse of international fields and rigs to extract avocados.
Yeah, they got 10,000 acres over in Peru. Plus, Jack, you got to have have the farmland in Guatemala, Chile, and Colombia.
Just in case, you know, an earthquake, a fire, or a drought disrupt the production in Peru.
Now, here's the thing. Given all those location snackers, there's a lot of political risk in avocados.
According to the S1, drug violence in their Mexican supply chain is a risk factor for the future.
It got actually cited.
That's why Mission Produce runs 11 refinery facilities outside of cities to produce and prepare avocados.
Yeah, they call these things ripening centers. Lovely word, by the way. Great wedding venue. They're near cities, so you don't end up getting like a green lacrosse ball when you want something really nice and mushy.
That's right. The avocados show up at these ripening centers like hard as a rock and get shipped to the grocery store when they're aged, but not too squishy.
Yeah, nothing worth like waiting around for this thing to ripen. It still feels more like a weapon than a food.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Mission Produce? Fast trends are getting all the attention, but don't ignore the slow trends.
Snackers, you get excited about the fast trends, like the mobility revolution, which went from 0 to 60 in basically a second.
You had Uber, and then suddenly had a bike share, you had an e-scooter, and a self-driving delivery drone in like a year.
It's basically a Nick Cage movie.
So it's easy to miss the slower trends. They creep up on you after years and years and years. Like the era of the avocado.
So backtrack to the year 2000. Jack and I are freaking out about Y2K, and we don't even own computers at that time.
I was 12, I swear. I'd never had an avocado before.
True story. Wasn't a thing. It's a millennial problem. We embrace the avocados now, but we didn't grow up with them.
In fact, it's not just us. According to Yahoo Finance, the average American was eating 2 pounds of avocado per year in the year 2000.
But today, it is 4 times that. We're all consuming 8 pounds of avo every year.
That's the culmination of two other slow trends in America.
The first, over the last 20 years, Hispanics have grown to become the biggest U.S. minority group.
And Latin America is where all the avocados of Mission Produce are being grown.
Second, you got the wellness splurge in millennials now becoming parents and forcing the avocado down their new baby's throats.
I think Gerber's coming out with an avocado baby formula.
It's baby's first bite. Wasn't a thing 20 years ago.
37-year-old Mission Produce has been riding that slow trend and finally just IPO'd.
And it simply plans to keep on riding. Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us to start the week?
The economy is recovering, but it is still sick.
We can't just wait for a vaccine. We need some of that econ stimulus medicine.
For our second story, Amazon is ruthless efficiency. Etsy isn't.
And that's the point. It's like an experiential flea market online.
For our third and final story, Mission Produce just IPO'd after allegedly importing the first avocado to the United States 37 years ago.
Slow trends will creep up on you, adjusted. Believe adjusted.
Now time for our snack fact of the day. This one sent in by a man or woman who goes just by Snack Factor.
We don't know his or her name in St. Pete, Florida.
It's a Twitter account, but we believe they're based in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Now Snack Factor only sends us snack facts and points out that the human body contains 37 trillion, with a T, cells.
Nick, that is more cells in our body than there are stars in our galaxy.
Whoa. Whoa, Keanu.
Jack, whenever we use the word trillion, I feel like this should be some kind of a Jeff Bezos wealth comparison in some way.
Sure,
now, snackers, before you go, we got to say congrats to Marco and Sandy and their dogs who just had their anniversary in St. Paul, Minnesota.
And congrats to Josh for getting your first job out of college over in Romaville, Illinois.
Also, Aiden K taking the LSAT in San Diego, California. Good luck.
Logical choice, Aiden K. Logical choice.
Yeah, the GMAT's terrible. Carlos Ahmad and Caitlin Van Chow just got engaged down in Houston.
Happy anniversary, Brian and Sarah in Los Angeles.
Antonia Brara and Leah Crawford, engaged and anniversary over in Colorado.
Happy anniversary, Mitch and Megan in Tampa, Florida.
And a happy 33rd birthday to Justin Gerald down in San Francisco.
And happy birthday to Kate Yarborough in Orlando, Florida.
And Alan Rosenfeld in Somerville, South Carolina.
And Chris Van Handel in La Crosse, Wisconsin.
And Nathan Davis in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We got 2 lacrosse references in one day.
Is it La Crosse, Wisconsin?
That's a future correction and a snack fact. In the meantime, snackers, let's spread and grow snacks daily.
HYHYSD, that's all you gotta say.
Ask your friends, have you had your snacks daily?
We'll see you tomorrow.
If you know, you know.
This is Jack. I own stock of Amazon. Nick owns stock of Shopify.
The Robinhood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robinhood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robinhood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates.
The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.